And welcome to episode 126 of the Shula Bowl podcast. And yes, we are coming off the heels of the FIU Panthers taking down the Florida Atlantic Owls in the 23rd rendition of the Shula Bowl. So you know what? I'll let Kevin Barral, our FIU representative, get everything out of his system that he wants to get out right now, because I'm sure you've been bottling in some emotions. So let's just
Jake, let's just be clear. Right, I will also take all of this like a man, because I'm not here to make excuses. They got their butts kicked.
Oh, I mean, hey man, you guys have been talking your shit for the last years, for the last 9 years. What's up, little bro? How we What's doing? Up?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. You know, a little bit of an owls down type of day the other on Saturday, you know. They got their ass whooped, no other way to say it. And it was a good time at Pitbull Stadium. I don't think you missed much. 2 hour and a half rain delay didn't stop this Panthers team. Caden Vellkamp, offensive player of the year, who? So it was a good day to be an FIU Panther, and Owls down, baby. Let's go. Until next year.
Anything else you want to say? Any specific video you'd like to have play right now?
Actually, you know what? I want to say something. And this is to all the FIU fans who felt like I did. Because FIU fans know this the best. When there's a big game, it usually doesn't go their way. Maybe FAU fans could relate a little bit to this one. But, like, you think about this game, you hype it up, you get hyped, you get excited, you feel like a certain way, like nervous, and then you lose the game, and you're, like, super down bad. Like, I didn't know how to feel after a win like that, you know? So it feels good. That's why I can't talk shit. Like, I don't know what to say, because it's, like, one of those, like, all I can say is little bro, because like we're no longer little bro. We're big bro for the
next
365 days.
I think it's really funny because both teams have sort of had that same feeling in big games recently. Mm-hmm. And it's like FAU is still waiting for their big time, like performance in a big game against a Power Four school, like FIU got against Miami a few years ago, right? Like they're still waiting for their Miami moment. And it's so funny because I think that if they were to ever win that game, and truthfully, I don't know if it'll ever happen. I'm starting to begin to think that this program is cursed in some way. But if it were to ever happen, right, like, I don't know how I would be. I feel like I would just kind of be like you are right now and just kind of be like, that was great. I really like that happened. And then, like, not know how to feel about it. Because as much as, like, FAU has dominated this rivalry, it's also felt like FIU has never shown up for the game. And this year, like, to their credit, and I'm not here to make excuses for FAU because truthfully there aren't any, and we'll get into that later. FIU was the better coached team. They were the more talented team on Saturday, and the more talented and the better coached team won on Saturday. That's point blank period what happened. And anyone who wants to say otherwise, because I'm sure there will be FAU fans who have a different opinion, maybe with some copium involved, right? Like, I think the better coached team and the more talented team won on Saturday. And I think everything about that game proves that one team was better coached, one team was more prepared, and one team won that game a little bit more. And it was the team that ended up winning.
By the way, that helmet got absolutely destroyed. Like, the FIU helmet has its little bumps and bruises on it, which compared to the FAU one before the pregame, it was very shiny, very not touched. Dude. They destroyed the living hell out of that helmet, and it was really, really bad. Like, that helmet is in the hands of Julius Pierce right now, FIU offensive lineman. He just has it. And then the face mask part of it is in the hands of Keegan Davis. So they've got parts of the helmet. I don't know what they're going to do with them.
I hope they return it by the time next year's rivalry comes
around. I mean, hey, because you want to paste it on there, because we'll get it right back next year too. So it's okay.
You know what? I don't have anything. Jake, I do have one owl fun fact, because I did tell you I would come prepared with owl fun facts. Did you know that owls possess 14 neck vertebrae, allowing them to rotate their head 270 degrees owls to compensate for their fixed eyes?
Really? I always wondered how they were able to do that.
Wait, Barol, did you think I was going to have like FAU owl fun facts?
Yeah.
No, I spent like an hour yesterday. Like, for context, for everyone listening to this, Jake sent me a text probably at like 5 p.m. asking if I could do this pod when we're recording right now. And I was like, yeah, I could do it. I imagine we're not going to be talking about anything in particular, right? And he was like, no, I don't. Like, he played along. I go, okay, I'll come prepared with owl fun facts. I will not be reading off all of them. for legal.
You read them like sporadically throughout this podcast.
Yeah, just start dropping them in mid-podcast.
Yeah. So like when he asks you a question about your next game, well, you guys are on a bye week, but about Memphis. Yeah, the Owl does this. Yeah.
All right. Well, I know that that monologue Kevin Fielder had about the reasons why FAU lost. I know Kevin already recorded that, and he's going to play it as he goes to sleep tonight, and it's going to be the greatest feeling for Mr. Bah. Anything else you want to get off your chest? Any videos you want to play in the background here?
What are you trying to play?
Just play. We literally belted y'all in every sport this year, please. Respectfully, shut the hell up and stop using us for clout.
Hey, look, I love that video, but we do not need to be taking shots at Las Patas on a show. That is both a Miami institution and a Boca one. Why are we acting like that?
I don't think it's a Miami institution.
Isn't there one in Miami? Are a
Miami institution.
Isn't there one in Miami?
No.
I don't know.
I thought there was one in Miami.
All right, well, I'm glad we got all that out of our chests. So let's continue on here and actually talk about what the hell happened. So let's start off with the Battle of the Trenches, or I think it was a big story of the game. Specifically, Florida Atlantic's offensive line versus FIU's pass rush and run defense, which it was the tale of two halves, right? It was even across the board in the first half, but in the second half, it was a boat race where the Panthers felt like they could do no wrong on both sides of the ball, but I really feel like the defense was the big takeaway of this game for the Panthers. So I'll let Mr. Barral start and fill us in on how they were able to pull this off against one of the best rated group of five quarterbacks in the nation in Caden Veldkamp.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest story of the game is just the first and the second half, right? FIU really kept it close with FAU in that first half. You look at just a comparison, I'm going to pull this up right now real quick. They had, in the first half, they only had 130 yards of total offense, FAU 312, FIU only ran for 39 yards, passed for 91. Second half, 278 total yards of offense, 185 passing yards, rushing yards, 93 passing yards. Keywon had the passing touchdown, Keijon Owens, career 973 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Like, I think that's the biggest story of the game. Now, to what you mentioned, the defense, 100%. I mean, it started with the defensive line. They put Veldkamp in some big pressure situations where he kind of had to force the throw. I think that was the biggest thing with the first pick of the game in the first drive. You saw the pressure. Veldkamp had to make a move, and he made the throw, and it was a bad one, right? You look at the second one. That one, he was trying to hit his tight end, I believe. Just Mr. Clark got right in the way. Good pick there for him. Big moment, too, right? Going right into the half. FAU's in the red zone. Could have looked like a pretty different game. Third interception, right towards down the wire. At that point, who knows, right? Like what they were feeling at that point. But Josiah McGrew with the interception, another one of those throws under pressure. So Veldkamp was pressured quite a bit. I think FIU wanted the trenches in that case. FAU did a good job pressuring Keywon on the other side, but Keywon did make some throws. Finally started using his legs a little bit, something he didn't do in the Penn State game, something he lacked in the Bethune game as well. So started using his legs, getting quite a bit of yardage just off of that. So again, why FIU ran the ball so well in this game. And I think the biggest thing, and maybe Kevin could talk about this a little, was like, you know, FAU really didn't have much of a run game at all. Like it was really a three-man game between Veldkamp, Platt, and Messer. And they stopped Messer pretty well despite the one touchdown. So I thought he did a good job in the second half, especially KJ Owens. Just what a night, right? Like 173 yards, multi-touchdown game, fourth career multi-touchdown game. Like you couldn't have asked for a better game for someone like Keijon Owens, right? And what he did there, Keywon with a rushing touchdown, Anthony Carey with a rushing touchdown, Alex Perry with the receiving touchdown, McGuire Anderson have himself a game. It was a good night. It was a good night for FIU football. It was one of those games that really, really defined, like, we kind of mentioned this, right? Who needed this more? Like, both teams needed this equally. FIU now has a really good shot at making a bowl game. You could find four wins in that the rest of their schedule. I don't know about FAU, though.
Mr. Fielder. Oh, damn. Okay. Wow. Our FIU rep briefly mentioned the Florida Atlantic run game and how it left a lot to be desired, and I do agree with that, so I'll turn it now to you. What was the big issue there, and combine that with Veltkamp's performance? I mean, I feel like it's always a good day in the office for a defense when the quarterback you face throws more interceptions than passing touchdowns. So what kind of went wrong systematically for Veltkamp and this running game as a whole for the Owls?
Well, the biggest thing is life's a lot harder on any offense when you can't run the ball on first and second down. And FAU had to throw the ball on 38 of 57 early down plays this game. That's not a recipe for winning football at any level, especially one in college where both teams are heated to win a rivalry, right? Like, that may work when you play FAMU, because FAMU, you can out-talent them. That doesn't work when you're on a semi-even talent level with, like you are with FIU. And it's been an issue for most of the year, right, where they just haven't been able to get consistent running game input from anyone, really. Jamari Sands has been fine. Xavier Terrell has had his moments. They've tried some quarterback run game stuff with Kane Veltkamp that just hasn't been very effective. They've tried to generate the effect, like, effectively the same thing as the run game with some screens on early downs, with some RPOs, but none of it's been effective. And I think that, like, that's the biggest issue with this offense right now, because FAU wants to throw the ball. They haven't made this a secret. They want to throw the ball. They want to, you know, spread the ball around. They want to play really fast, but you can't really do that if you can't also run the ball, because teams are going to start dropping eight. They're going to start taking away those throwing windows, and they're going to make your life a lot harder. And FAU, right? Like, they're finding moments where they can generate offense, right? Like, in this game, FAU had chances to generate offense, and that drive to end the second half really looked like they had a chance to pull ahead and maybe end the game after a half. But instead, they throw a pick because they can't keep getting out their own way. And it's a constant issue for this offense that needs to get figured out, because, like Baral said, it doesn't get any easier for FAU. Like, I don't disagree with him. I don't know if I can find five wins on this schedule for FAU right now. I could find three. I could maybe find four. But you don't get a really easy stretch in the American this year. You got to play the big dogs in that conference. And the truth is, right, like, the way they're playing right now, it's going to be really difficult for them to sustain success in the American. Because while FIU has a good secondary, they would be a bottom-of-the-pack secondary in the American, which has some of the best secondaries in Group of Five football. It's going to be incredibly difficult to win in this conference if you can't sustain anything on the ground, because you want to give yourself favorable windows, and they're not finding those favorable windows.
Mm, some good points there. Mr. Barral, we don't need to speak much about Keijon Owens and how he's been able to put the team on his back at times this season. That's pretty self-evident. So I of all the touchdowns they scored against Florida Atlantic, and there was a pretty good amount, I wanted to highlight one specifically, the passing touchdown to Alex Perry, the first passing touchdown of the season for FIU. How important do you think it was for Kiwan Jenkins to finally get that under his belt, to finally get that passing touchdown up and out of here to help this offense potentially evolve as we get towards Conference USA play here for the Panthers, starting with Delaware?
Do you have another owl fact for us, Kevin, beforehand?
I do, because I always do.
Give us another one real quick.
Barn owls swallow their prey, whole skin, bones, and all, and they eat up to 1,000 mice per year.
All right, well, yeah, it was a big relief, right, for Kiwan. He kind of mentioned it in the press conference during the weekly availability, and just felt like, you know, a sigh of relief, but as well, it's like, it's been frustrating, right? You haven't been able to get the passing game going. You don't have a Chris Mitchell. You don't have a Eric Rivers. You don't have a Dean Patterson, per se, right? So it's been a little tough getting the pass game going. You have a lot of guys who could really do a lot of things, but, you know, it just hasn't been working out. And honestly, if it ain't broke, don't fix it with the running game. But you need to open the passing game at some point, and the running game is certainly helping you out. So it's just a matter of let's get it going. Perry's been a little bit underwhelming. He had the touchdown. He had actually a couple of nice snags in the game against FAU. Then he had the McGuire-Anderson 46-yard pass, like finally shooting it down the field. It seems like they tried to do that against Penn State a couple times. Did it a little bit in the second half of the Bethune game. But you're going to have to do it quite a bit against Delaware, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Delaware is a team that really struggles against the pass. So they need to get it going against the pass. Keywon clearly, you know, they're playing him a little bit differently than they have the last 2 years. FIU was one of the better passing offenses in Conference USA. Keywon Jenkins is the Conference USA preseason offensive player of the year. So that tells you all you need to know. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, he needs to get it going. And he knows that, and I think they will. And they're going to have to find out real soon if they have a number one receiver or they're going to have multiple guys who are going to do multiple things and get you just go through the progressions a little more than you used to.
Mm-hmm. Kim Fielder, is that it? So the owl in the FAU logo is actually a barn owl. Can you verify this?
Oh, no, it isn't. I just looked up owl facts and did discriminate on which owl we were choosing from.
I can verify that the Panther is a Florida Panther. That's on the FIU Panther. Anyway, moving right along here, let's get into some of the future matchups now for the Owls, specifically, Mr. Fielder. That's going to take a minute because they have this bye week coming
up. Thank God. So, thank God. I've never been more happy for a bye week, honestly.
Yes, and I wanted to talk to you about that. How needed is this bye week for this Owls team? And what are some of the biggest things they have to look in the mirror and realize that they have to fix in the week leading up to their next game, which is going to be against a very tough Memphis Tiger team?
Before we move on, I do want to ask Fielder something, because as we mentioned, Kittley kind of downplayed this rivalry quite a bit. Didn't mention it, said it was about his team, said that it's a big game because FAU's in it. How much do you think that kind of backfired on him?
I don't think it backfired. I think that's like, truthfully, like I've seen some discussions about that. I think that's just finding a reason as to why they lost. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, right? Like the reason they lost is because one team was better coached, one team played well, and one team ran the football well. And that team is going to win the football game 99.9% of the time. Like, did FIU certainly come out a little bit more motivated? Sure, but I don't think that was because Willie Simmons pumped it to the media, right? Like, I think they came out more motivated because everyone in the locker room knew you can't lose whatever it would be, 10 straight, 8 straight, whatever it is, to your crosstown rival, right? Like, you just can't have that happen. And so I don't think that played a role. Maybe it did, right? Like, I'm not in the locker room. Maybe it did. I think that there were just bigger issues in terms of their actual schematical approach, which, Jake, to sort of segue into your question, right? Like, what do they need to look in the mirror at? I'm going to be honest, it needs to be everything, because you're 1-2. Hey. Your one game that you won is to an FCS opponent in Florida A&M, and you haven't looked exactly inspiring in either of your first two games against FBS opponents, right? Like, I'm willing to throw the Maryland one away. That's against a Power 4 opponent, right? Like, you're just going to get your butts kicked most of the time. That's fine. But it didn't feel like that was a 10-point game from FIU or FAU, right? Like, I don't think FAU played that game particularly close, especially in the second half. And there are just so many problems with their offensive procedure, their offensive game plan, right? Their strategy, right? Things that need to get cleaned up now, because I look at that schedule and I see Memphis in 2 weeks. I see South Florida and Navy in back-to-back weeks. I see a lot of really good football teams on that schedule. And I see a lot of games that are going to require you to score points, because FAU is built to score points. That's what they're here to do. They're here to try and score 40 points a game, not try and score 25 and make this a defensive shootout. Defensively, you got to clean up the run fits, man, because it was not just Owens on Saturday. It was Keon Jenkins. It was everyone else. They were able to get the quarterback run game involved, right? Like, it's one thing to lose to one running back. It's one thing to lose to one incredibly talented running back, a guy who I think will have NFL interest when the season is over, but also the quarterback and the backup running back who was able to generate explosives, right? Like, it's a lot more difficult to win a football game if three guys are dominating you on the ground. And so FAU needs to clean that up now, because it's just not going to get any easier for them. And you mentioned, like, can you find 5 wins on this schedule? Again, I'm not sure, right? Like, maybe you can, You know, maybe there are some games that they can steal, but it's going to require them to look like a better, more competent football team down the stretch.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
As far as games, FAU could still, I mean, you have Rice, who is always kind of iffy. You have UAB at home. Tulsa at home as well. ECU, we'll have to wait and see about that.
UConn, but who looks, nah.
We'll let you know in a couple weeks.
But I think you also, right, like to that point, you also get Tulane on the road, Navy on the road, South Florida on the road, and Memphis. Like,
that's rough.
Those are four games. You have to probably steal one of those. And good luck, man. Those teams look really damn good.
So we'll now turn it over to the FIU rep here. Delaware's coming up. First Conference USA opponent. They just beat UConn in an overtime thriller. Based on what you did see from the Florida Atlantic game, how confident are you that the Panthers can match up with everything that the Blue Hens are going to be bringing to Pitbull Stadium?
Yeah, Delaware's an interesting team because Willie kind of noted that they're more committed to running the ball with their quarterback specifically, rather than, I guess, most of the teams that we've seen so far. Valcamp's more of a passing quarterback. Same thing with Drew Aller. Bethune, it was Ranson, but they went with Timmy McClain for the most part, who's more of a passing quarterback. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. Nick Minicucci has been awesome for Delaware. Big piece of their win last week against UConn. He had the game-winning touchdown. Their wide receiver, Kyron Duplees, I think how you say it, leads the conference in receiving yards. He's been really good, two receiving touchdowns, had a big 68-yard touchdown the other day. And then their running back, Joe Silver, very good running back, has done some good things so far. So they're really going to run the ball a lot. FIU is going to probably have their toughest challenge at stopping the run. But I am curious to see if this is one of those games where they really get it going in the pass game department, at least in the pass defense department. FIU still has Brian Blades on one side. You have Ashton Levels on the other. For some reason, FIU really ranks towards the bottom of Conference USA in pass defense specifically. So I've been interested to see why that's been the case, although that could be just they aren't passing the ball quite a bit. And when they have, you know, it's been a lot of struggles. I mean, Caden Valcamp threw for over 300 plus yards. So regardless of what you see, you had the three interceptions, which is great. But you still give up two passing touchdowns and the passing yards. So that may be why FIU did a good job the first 2 weeks of stopping Drew Allard, stopping McClain. But Minicucci, I'm curious to see what happens there. And that's a good Delaware team regardless. Like, they're a sneaky good team. They're playing spoiler throughout the most of the year. Unless they get to six wins and there's not enough bowl teams, they'll make it. But right now, they're playing spoiler to stop teams from making the CUSA championship game in FIU. And hey, they could spoil Willie Simmons' like 20-something game home win streak dating back to his time at FAMU. So I'm curious to see this matchup. I'm excited to see this matchup because it's a good Delaware team, and I think their defense is solid, at least to stop the run. So this will certainly be, no offense, the fielder, the toughest challenge yet for this FIU team.
Do you take offense to that comment, Mr.
I mean, I don't think Delaware is that good. I think Delaware is a good football team, but I don't think they're that good. Like, I would have to look at some of the numbers, which truthfully I haven't, because I do not think I'll be watching Delaware football this year.
You shouldn't.
As much as I am a sicko who watches that stuff constantly, but like, I do sort of agree, right? They got a different game plan that could give FIU problems, but I don't think they're like more talented than FAU.
That's fair.
Like, I don't, like, especially I think
their first year in FBS.
Yeah, like, this is still a team that like was not even like a really good FCS team. Like, the last few years have not been great for Delaware in general, right? And like,
they won 10 games a year before.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just good. Like, they're a good FCS team. They're not a great FCS team.
Yeah.
And like, I think a good FCS team compared to whatever FAU is putting out there now, which again could be a question mark. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. But like, I don't know if I really agree with that being a tougher matchup. Maybe tougher schematically because a quarterback running game and having a running back like Joe Silver, who is incredibly dynamic, right? I think he's averaging like 12 yards a carry or some crazy
8.1 yards per carry, which leads conference USA, which is crazy.
Like, and they ran the ball really well against UConn, and they were able to do a lot of things against UConn that maybe you can't really do against other teams. We'll see. Like, I think this is going to be an interesting matchup for FIU, and one that could give them some troubles, given that it's a very dynamic offense in the way that they play it.
So you, Mr. Fielder, have confidence in the FIU Panthers in this game against Delaware. Is that something you thought you would be saying in an episode of the Shula Bowl Pod when they're
playing Delaware? Yeah, I think that if FIU wants to be a team that's supposed to be different from years past, and Brawl, you can sort of disagree with this if you want to, but like, if FIU wants to be a team that's different from the years past, and that's something that Willie Sims has talked about, right? Like, this isn't the same FIU. Then you have to beat Delaware, right? Like, you can't go out and lose to Delaware, because like, the problem over the last few years for FIU, and it's been an issue for FAU too, don't get me wrong, is you're losing to these teams that you should be beating. You're losing to the teams that like you should be beating. And I know we talked about like, we're not used to winning the big game. We're also really used to losing the games that we should win, right? Like,
that's true. Yeah.
Like, I look at Temple for last year for FAU, and like, FIU probably has about 5 or 6 over the last few years. I feel like FAU has 20. And so like, this is very much a game that like, I feel like FIU has to win for this to be a different team. Like, I think it's one thing to win the Shula Bowl. It's another thing to turn the Shula Bowl into consistent performances, because if you win the Shula Bowl, still go 2-10, 3-9 or whatever, right? Like, no one really remembers that game. Like, it's cool you won the game, but I think the fan base, and FAU is going to be similar if they go 5-7, is going to forget what that game means if you can't put together a season long performance that can leave your fan base excited.
How bitter will the FAU faithful be about this Shula Bowl loss? Because I know the FIU fans, when they lose to FAU, they're bitter too. We can admit that. I think Mr. Barral can admit that, especially after attending the Shula Bowl loss last year in Boca Raton. How bitter will the FAU faithful be? Will it take all the way up to next year's Shula Bowl game for them to finally get over it?
Assuming depends on how the rest of the season goes. I don't know. Like, I think that if they go 6-6, make a bowl game, win the bowl game, right? Like, I think you may be able to forget this game happened, right? Because the important thing is to remember, this is still Zach Kittley's third game as a head coach, period. And so like, it is very possible that he's still learning his way around the job. I will say, I don't think losing to FIU is excusable in any year, period. I think that if you want to give yourself expectations in a rivalry, you got to be better than the other team, man. You can't just say you're better than the other team. And to some degree, like, we saw the video at the beginning of this podcast, right? Like, FAU's talked a lot of crap recently, excuse me. And they've sort of made that their MO. That should stop. Like, I'm just going to be honest, that should stop.
Because
I can't tell him anything. He won't listen. But like, the truth is, right? Like, you look at that game, I don't think that game happened for any off chance reason. And like, it's going to take a while for the feelings to subdue and this to feel like a game that you can sort of put behind you. Will it take a full calendar year to next year? I don't know. But it will take a while for sure, right? Like, there's still going to be a bitter feeling in my taste in my mouth. And I'm sure other fans feel the same way.
Yeah. I'll turn it to you now, to you now, Kevin Barral, because, well, let's say FIU doesn't win another game this season. Are you still happy? Is it still a W?
I'd be pretty pissed.
Even though they beat it, okay, they win 6 games, make it to a bowl game, but they fall short. Is it still a dub season? Because you
took that's a huge, yeah.
I think that's a great year. Like, yeah, I'm not the FIU fan. I think that's an insane
build. Year really, FIU. The statue. Yeah,
All right. 4-8, but an FAU win.
I'd be pretty disappointed. It's just like, how do I say it? We've seen 4-8 before. Like, I don't want to see 4-8. Like, I need to see 5-7. Sure. Because that's first year under Willie, new looking team, like 5 wins. Sure. Because then you're looking at 7 wins. You'll say that's fair. But in this schedule, you should win 6. Now looking at it, there's 4 wins on this schedule for FIU. Delaware, Mo State, Kennesaw, Sam Houston. Those are four wins. Most of the, actually, a couple of them are road wins. So you'll take it. Like, those, two road, two home wins. I'll be happy with that.
Okay.
And Liberty seems like a toss-up now, too, the way they've been playing. And that's what happens when you play a real FBS opponent, unlike really shitty ones that they've played in the past.
Hey, don't disrespect the really bottom feeder of the Mountain West that they played that one year because they feel like they had to. That's not nice.
What's the next time they're playing a power conference, man? They're playing Virginia Tech, I think, next year, finally.
You have another owl fact for us, Mr. Fielder?
I do have one more to close this off.
Okay.
Owls are birds of prey, which means they use sharp talons to hunt other animals. And in the case of the great horned owl, strong talons require a force of 28 pounds to open.
Thanks.
I've come prepared with owl facts. I really hope I never have to do this bit again. Let's just be clear.
Well, me three. But their talons were anything but sharp at Pitbull Stadium.
They were quite dull.
So, alrighty. Well, there's no preview to talk about with Mr. Fielder since they have the week off. What are you going to be doing this week off? Is this just going to be a take your mind off of FAU week, or just focus in and just move on and get ready for Memphis?
I will be watching college football and not be thinking about FAU for the rest of the week. They can't hurt me if I don't think about them for the rest of the week.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully, for Kevin Burrell, the feeling won't be the same because hopefully they'll be entering their first bye week with a win under a belt to start the season 3-1, which I think to you, Mr. Burrell, would be a dream come true start for this season.
First time since 2023, right? Going 3-1. So hopefully it's not the McIntyre case where you win one more out of those and finish 4-8. But I don't think that'll be the case. I think got to feel pretty good where you're at. Face Delaware, have a good shot against them. UConn all of a sudden seems a little bit more beatable than we may have assumed at the start of the season. They didn't lose to a group of five team last year, lost to one now this year. So we'll see what happens there. And from there on out, it's going to be pretty tough, starting with Western Kentucky and moving your way down the conference. But should be fun the next couple of weeks. And actually, it's going to be a while since it'll be a while because FIU, for some stupid reason, has like a bye week after Delaware before UConn and a bye week after UConn. So it's a little stupid. But
yeah, what a weird schedule. And then they play, what, Wednesday or something after that?
We start the midweeks.
Well, everyone in Conference USA does.
God, I love the midweeks.
There we go. CBS Sports Network, baby, against Western Kentucky. I think it is, at least.
Yeah. It's actually on ESPNU. I was looking at the schedule. It is ESPNU and
AEO. ESPNU. Oh, shit. All right.
We've upgraded. We've upgraded society.
Hey, and now the Vice game's on ESPN, too. So.
Dose. Yeah. Alrighty, then. Well, we have no predictions to be made for Florida Atlantic, so Burrell will have the room again. How do the Panthers defeat Delaware? What must they do? What must they avoid? And what's the final score?
Stop the run, first of all. They need to stop Nick Minicucci or whatever his name is, and Joe Silver. I think FIU wins by a final score of 24-17.
MVP?
Kiwan. Kiwan's going to light it up this time.
He's going to light it up. So we're going to get multiple passing touchdowns. Okay.
Kiwan said something. Do you still have the clip?
No,
too late now. Never mind. All right, end it.
What? Whoa, end it? Whoa.
End the podcast.
Mr. Fielder, is FIU beating Delaware? Just because I don't want to leave you like hanging.
Yeah, I was about to say, do I get to make a prediction on this game?
Sure.
I'm certainly prepared for this game, right? Like, I've watched both teams play. No, I do think FIU wins this game. And not largely because I think that like FIU is a team that's going to compete for Conference USA this year. But I think it's because it's a game that FIU will win because this is a different FIU team. This is not Mike McIntyre's FIU team. This is certainly not Butch's FIU team because I haven't heard any complaints about facilities recently. But I will say, I think this Delaware team will prove a lot about who FIU is. They win this game comfortably. I think we can start having some discussions about how good this team can be. If it's a little closer, I think we just need to wait and see another week one or 2 weeks and then when they play UConn. But I do think that they'll win this game. And I'm going to go with Owens as the MVP because I think that's where this team is going to start and that's where this team's going to effectively be led. And I think they win this game by 10 points. 30, we'll go 32-22. That's 10 points. I know math.
32-22. You really don't think that they can be Conference USA contenders, Mr. Fielder?
I think
Conference
we're a little...
USA is the most one of those wide open conferences.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think it absolutely is. I just think it's a year too early to start talking like actual Conference USA.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, I think that Jacksonville State looks like a far better team, and they look like one of the best teams in Group of Five football right now.
Yes, much better than I assumed.
Kentucky, right? Like, as bad as some of their games have been this year, I'm not ready to count out Western Kentucky in any conference.
Oh, I think they're the favorite.
Liberty still, like, I kind of need to wait and see on them. They could still sort of turn it around at the end of the year and make things interesting. But I think that they are probably, like, FIU is like upper middle pack of the conference, which, given where they've been recently, that feels like a good spot to be.
Yeah, even be in those discussions.
Great news, which is just general college football, which this was already mentioned, but the NCAA is eliminating the spring transfer portal window and shifting to a single portal window. Thoughts?
So, expected.
Yeah.
There needed to be
AJ more Allen would still have been a Panther had this happened a year early.
Yeah. There needed to be more guidelines on the transfer portal.
Would have been no Anthony Carey, would have been no Joe Pazanski for FIU. So different ways to look at it. But this actually helps Group of Five teams, in my opinion. Don't get destroyed in the transfer portal as you would, you know, once have assumed.
I saw a take online, and I don't know if you guys would agree with this or not, that power conference teams that acquire Group of Five players through the transfer portal need to compensate the Group of Five teams in some
way. This is the Grambling head coach who said this. I remember.
I don't have an opinion on this either way. I just want guidelines in place, period.
Yep. All right.
We coming to Delaware.
There it is.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your weekend. Go watch some college football. From the FIU perspective, they'll be taking on Delaware on September the 20th at Pitbull Stadium. FAU fans, you get the week off before you get ready for Memphis. So just, watch some college football. And thank you so much for also watching the Shula Bowl podcast.